Welcome to Revealing Jesus. Are you hungry to learn more about our beautiful Savior Jesus? I am your host, Christina Pereira, lover of Jesus, apostolic leader, licensed and ordained minister, author, podcaster, and kingdom party planner. Did you know that the Bible declares that grace and peace are multiplied to us in the knowledge of Jesus? And that simply means the more we learn about our beautiful Savior, the more we will experience all He died to give us. Join me for all things the King and His Kingdom, including revelatory teaching, interviews with fivefold ministers, media leaders, authors, and more. Come discover the beauty of God displayed all across the body of Christ. Together, we are revealing more of Jesus to a hurting world today.
Women always play a pivotal role in God's revival history. We see that in revival history that women have always been on the forefront of what God is doing, because women seem to have this ability given by God to see what's missing and create new ways of bringing solutions and healing and prosperity to families and cities and nations.
But before we get started, I want to give a quick shout out to our Christina Pereira Ministry sponsors who help support the mission to unite the body of Christ and fulfill the Great Commission with love. A big shout out to Gopher Ministries, who provides all of our equipment for our gospel events. Davis Financial Services, who does all of our financial accounting. Harvest Family Network, through which I am licensed and ordained. And Life Changing Productions, who helps put together evangelistic events to reach our city for Jesus. If you or your organization are interested in becoming a CPM sponsor, you can find out more information on our website at christinapereira.org. Do you have a loved one special occasion coming up and don't know what to get them? Well, now you can sponsor an episode of Revealing Jesus in their name. And you can give them a special dedication message read on air. It makes a great gift. To find out more information, just go to christinapereira.org/podcast. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of Revealing Jesus with Christina Pereira. I am your host, Christina, and I'm so excited to have you with me here today. I truly have an amazing leader in the body of Christ with me here today. She's been on the podcast before, but it's been a long time. But she is the founder of Kim Moss Ministries. She is a sought-after international speaker, author, a prophetic leader, and she has an amazing heart for women in the body of Christ. And she is raising a clarion call in this hour for women to rise up. She's the author of the new book, Finding Our Muchness, Inheriting Audacious Boldness from Women of the Bible. Please help me welcome Kim Moss.
Hi, Christina. How fun to see you again.
I know. I'm so excited to see you again, too. I love, love meeting you last time. I think you are an amazing woman leader with just such integrity and honor. And I'm so thankful for you and your ministry. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Really, it's really my privilege to be here. Great.
So good. Well, for those of you who aren't familiar with Kim's story, can you share a little bit about our listeners, just how you met our beautiful Savior Jesus?
Oh, I was 13 and I was invited to come to a Baptist revival meet. And it was in this big church that wasn't my own. And actually, I went for the boys, you know, and I sat with my girlfriend's whip in the very back. And there were several levels. I was in the very back and there was this evangelist jumping around on the platform. I don't remember anything that he said to this day, but I remember a burning. I just suddenly had this burning in my heart and I had to have him. I had to have Jesus. And so in those days, you know, because I'm a little older than you, but in those days, you had to come to the altar to receive Christ. And so I sobbed all the way down all the stairs and everything and went up to the front in front of everybody and made a public declaration that I really wanted Jesus. And that's how I got saved. And I loved Jesus from that moment on, but I didn't walk with him very well through my years. In my young adult years, I pretty much walked away and got married and had a really rough marriage in the beginning and had married a non-believer, and he was a drug addict and alcoholic, actually. But God did a miracle, and we nearly divorced, but God called me to stay in the marriage and that he was going to change things. And after a time, it was a time, and it was a difficult time, because sometimes when God says something, it takes a while before he fulfills it. But my husband then had an encounter with the Holy Spirit and gave his life to Christ and was instantly delivered. And so then we began to just build our life and our marriage. And about 4 years after that, I was asked to give my testimony at a women's retreat, because this is a much longer and involved story. But I gave my testimony, and a young woman, I was in my 30s, and a young woman who was 20 said, "I feel like the Lord has asked me to lay hands on you for the baptism with the Holy Spirit." Well, in my upbringing, you know, I thought that was not the Lord. But I had had this encounter with the Lord that called me home, and my husband had had an encounter. So I knew God was a little different than what I had learned in my childhood. And so I said, "Well, you can try." She laid hands on me, and I had a radical infilling of the Holy Spirit. And then he called me to full-time ministry and changed my entire life meeting the Holy Spirit. And I have been a wild woman from the Lord ever since. Really bold, taking risks, and knowing that he called me, you know, and answering the call. I mean, it's a compelling, right? I mean, you could say the same thing, Christina.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Man, I love that. I can't believe you said, "Well, you can try."
You can try. Are you afraid? Because I wasn't sure if I really believe this or if it would, you know, work. Because some of us, I think sometimes we think of it like a little bit like magic, right? But magic and supernatural are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus is real. God is alive. The Holy Spirit has been poured out, and he's there for the taking. I mean, I don't mean like we control him, but I mean, if you want it, he's eager to give it to you. So it was an amazing encounter.
Wow, I love that so much. You know, it's so much like God. When we encounter the Holy Spirit, it typically just takes the black and white that we were living and it just puts it in technicolor. And I can just tell on your face that beautiful, like, childlike wonder that you still have. And I love that. I never want to lose that. It's
ever. Wow. Yeah.
So good. So good. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I have loved reading through your book, Finding Our Inheriting Audacious Boldness from Women of the Bible. So for those of you who don't know what muchness is, let's define that. Let's talk about that real quick. What is that?
Yeah, muchness actually comes from scripture. So when you read the Shema, what's called the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you find out that it really says in the Hebrew, we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, and with our me'od. And the me'od is Hebrew for your very, very much, your very, very strength. And it can be translated muchness. And I love that. And when I learned that, actually, it reminded me of my favorite movie. So I have to tell you a little bit about that. So my favorite movie for women is, it's a secular movie. So you have to be aware of that if you go to watch it. It's not a Christian movie, but it was so prophetic to me when I went to watch it, because I love Alice in Wonderland. The movie is Alice in Wonderland from 2010. And it, yeah, Johnny Depp. But it was so prophetic for women, because in that movie, Alice has grown up. And her father has died. And it was with her father. Isn't that interesting? Our father. It was with her father that she dreamed so many dreams. And, you know, they say we dreamed of 6 impossible things even before breakfast. But in the movie, she is getting married off because her father's died. And in that culture, in that time, in that era, young women were not as valuable as young men. And so you married someone who had money, and it would help your family out. And so she meets her fiance, thank you, fiance, and she's dreaming. And she's very like a sort of a dreamer, you know, she's drifting off and dreaming. And he says, "What are you doing?" She says, "I just had a vision." And he basically tells her, "Well, keep your visions to yourself and otherwise remain silent." And so really, he's shutting down her dreams and her visions. And she's very disturbed by this. And so she follows a rabbit. She falls down the hole. She's in Wonderland again, you know, like Alice in Wonderland is. And all those around her, they're so glad she's there because they're like, Alice is back because she's going to slay the Jabberwocky, the dragon who is wreaking havoc on the land and all of this stuff. And she says, she's saying, I don't slay, you know, and so they call her not hardly Alice. But there's this scene where she's with the Mad Hatter. The scene, it grabbed my heart. It grabbed my heart prophetically. And he says, what do you mean you don't slay? And she says, I'm not that Alice, you know, because she's lost her identity. She's lost her very, very strength, her very, very muchness, her the force and the essence that's inside of her, her identity. And he says, you've lost your muchness. You were much more muchy, muchier. And he points to her insides and he says, something in here is missing, you know, and that's what I feel like God is saying in this time. He has given us our very, very strength, this force and power and wisdom that he's given us. And he calls us to use that. He gave it to us. It's him inside of us. It's his power, his muchness that's inside of us. And he's calling us to use that, to love him and to fulfill the purpose that we were created for.
I love that so much. You know, it's so interesting to me. What I find beautiful about that creation story is that God created us male and female in the image of God. And you had an amazing question that you asked in your book, and it so stood out to me. You said, if people of the world are to see the true image of God, how are they going to see the true image of God if they don't see both male and female? Yeah. And so, right. To the women out there who've lost their muchness, like you were talking about, their muchy muchness, they're not quite Atlas. They were not quite Kim. They were not quite Christina. All of those things that God has called us and created us to be, how can the world see who he really is?
Yes, exactly. You know, God is not male or female. He is spirit, right? Mm-hmm. And Jesus, of course, created man. But God said in the very beginning, and actually Genesis 1-3 is like the thesis statement of the whole Bible, because what happens in Genesis 1-3, 1-3, then is laid out in all of scripture from beginning to end. But it says that when God made humankind, he made them male and female, and he made them in his own image. And so, yeah, if people are going to really see who God is, then they need to see men and women in the fullness of who God has created them to be and using the very muchness that he has given them to really walk in who they really are and fulfill the purpose that they were created. The truth of the matter is that women have been told, I know, you know, from the time that we're little, we're trying to be enough. I can't tell you how many women all over the world. I'm a grandmother now. And so, I have met many women in various stages of their life, all of my life, and I've been in ministry for 30 years, you know, and women, they tell me, well, I feel like I am too fat or I'm too skinny. I'm not funny enough. I'm not smart enough. Maybe I'm too old now or I'm too young now or I'm too much. I hear that a lot. People feel like I'm too much or I'm too easily intimidated. I'm too sensitive. You know, there's all of these various things, but the truth of the matter is you're never going to be just right.
Yeah.
Because God, it's God's work through you. I mean, every time what I have seen in scripture, I love this, what I've seen in scripture is that every time God calls a man or a woman, okay, so male, because he calls men and women, but every time he does it and brings a prophetic word over their life about what he's about to do through them or whatever, they come into contact. They have to come face to face with their human limitation. Why? Because God is going to glorify himself through what he does through us. And he gets all the glory for it, you know, and he's going to empower us. And most of us, we are all wrong, you know, but I love that the women in scripture, one of the things that I wanted to bring out in the book is that most of them were all wrong. They were either all wrong because of their ethnicity. They were all wrong because of their gender. They were all wrong because of the family they came from. They were all wrong because they had horrific, sinful, or even demonic acts, you know? And God was calling them to believe him
and to rise up, and that it wasn't going to be dependent on their works, on their ethnicity, on their looks, on their brilliance, on their financial standing, on their education. It wasn't going to be because they were faking it, forcing it, working it. It wasn't going to be because they were strong and they thought they were so smart. No, not by power, not by might, but by my Holy Spirit. It's by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit by which whatever he wants to do that is impossible comes into being.
Amen. And you know, it's so interesting to me. I think those same standards, like you just said, that he doesn't call us based on who we are, but who he's created us to be and what he wants to do through us. And if you go back and look at the scriptures, he never called a man or a woman or anyone who was qualified. He qualifies the called.
That's right.
And so I think we need to apply those same standards to women. And so if Jesus himself calls fishermen, can't he call a housewife? I mean,
well, I was a housewife. Me too. Well, I also was a nurse. You know, when he first called me, I'm like, but God, I'm just a woman. I used to call myself the mom from Moor Park. That was the town in which I lived at the time. And there was a point at which he had to say to me, because I carried that with me, even though I was doing ministry, even though I was coming up and I began to lead in ministry and I was becoming very bold about it, you know, and I was preaching all over. And one day he just had to say to me, Kim, I don't want you anymore to say you're just the mom from Moor Park. I don't want you to say that anymore, you know, because I had called you, anointed, and appointed you. And so I don't want you to call yourself that anymore. I want you to say that you are a woman called by God.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. That's so good. You know, I feel like I too have had to come into contact with those struggles of God, like I'm a woman, you know, that I was called when I'm a woman, right? And it's so interesting to me. I always have this picture of the clay pot on the potter's wheel. And we don't get to choose how we've been created and for what purpose we get to be created for, right? And so there's actually scripture that says, like, has the pot any right to say to the potter, you cannot use me like that? And I feel like as women, we have to come to the surrender and the understanding that God, you are creator and you can make what you want. And if you've so made me this way, if you've so created me this way, then I'm going to humbly submit and I'm going to agree with you, God, that you have every right and every purpose. And I will not say back to you, you cannot use me like this.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I think that we want to make clear, because I know you believe the same thing. I want to make clear that when we talk about, I was in my small group last night. I go to a small group in my church because I love to do that. I'm just a sheep bat like everyone else, even though sometimes I'm a shepherd, right? But we were talking about some of this last night. One of the women said that she always feels like she doesn't quite measure up when we talk about calling, you know?
Yeah.
And that she used to struggle with what is my calling, what exactly? And then she realized that her calling is who she's created to be. So I want to make it really clear, even as you read the book, if you read the book, but that Christy and I, we believe that, and Christy, you can talk to it yourself, but calling, you can be called to many different things. Doesn't mean that you are going to do what I do. It doesn't mean that you are going to be a preacher that goes around the world. You know, that's what I do for a living, and I do that as my calling. But I have a daughter who's called as a hairdresser, you know, and this is her calling. I have one that is a nurse. She's a nurse practitioner. And so this is her calling. I know women who are called to be stay-at-home moms, and we need to be celebrating all of that, because whatever purpose for which you are created, and good, because it comes from God.
Amen. Amen. I couldn't agree with that more. And I feel like as women, I love that you said that. I feel like we need to be the first ones to give each other permission to be who God has created us to be, whether it's the hairdresser or the preacher or the teacher or any of it, because the truth is that we've all been created so specifically and intricately and gifted and anointed, and our hearts filled with passion and desire to do certain things. And the truth is that if one of us is missing because we're not walking in what God has called us to do, then the truth is the whole body suffers. The entire body suffers. And I say this all the time on Revealing Jesus. We need each and every one of us, whether we're women or whether we're men or whether we're children, walking and doing what God has called us to do. Because the way that God has created the body of Christ, when one of us prospers, we all prosper. You can't raise the arm without raising the leg and the shoulder and the hand. It just doesn't work that way, you know?
That's right.
So I'm so excited about what God is doing with women right now in this hour. Can you talk about that?
Oh my gosh. I mean, right now I'm seeing all over the world, women hungry. They are hungry to experience the Holy Spirit. They are hungry to walk and be led by the Spirit. They are hungry to join with God in a move of God. I feel like we are in a very strategic time. And the thing is about strategic times, I love this. This is my book, but I love this quote. Vincent Sinan, who is a Christian scholar and historian, he says this about strategic times, that at strategic times in salvation history, God has chosen women and empowered them with his Spirit to carry out his will in extraordinary ways. All those ways are different from one another. But see, what he's saying is that there are women in scripture and there's women throughout history. And God has chosen and empowered these women to fulfill every kind of assignment. You know, sometimes humble assignments, sometimes high profile assignments in the church, in society, and that these women are the prototypes for what God does with women. And I believe that right now we are in one of those strategic times in salvation history. I believe that we are in the forefront of another move of God, and that there will be a move within the move of God, and it will be a move among the people group called female. And because, you see, women always play a pivotal role in God's revival history. We see that in revival history that women have always been on the forefront of what God is doing, because women seem to have this ability given by God to see what's missing and create new ways of bringing solutions and healing and prosperity to families and cities and nations. And throughout what history, women have been abolitionists. They are called social entrepreneurs. Think about that, what that means. A social entrepreneur. That means that you see brand new ways of doing things in society that is helpful and good for families and for people. They've been activists and revivalists. I mean, I can name several revivalists. Let's go back to even Joan of Arc, who's one of my favorites, that Mariah Woodworth Eder and Harry Judd Montgomery and Amy Semple McPherson. These are some of my favorites, you know, Phoebe Palmer. And they've been missionaries, they've been revolutionaries. In the Bible, they're apostles and prophets, evangelists, teachers. They've done all kinds of things. But women believe in something greater than themselves. They believe that the gospel can transform the world, and their hearts begin to burn with passion. And this is what we're in the beginning. I see the signs everywhere. We're in the beginning of this thing. You know, I know that maybe Christina, you have too. I'd love to hear from you. But I think that I have prophesied a women's movement for about 6 or 7 years now. And I'm seeing the beginnings of it. I'm seeing this hunger that I haven't seen in a long time. I see women going, you know, the Esthers are rising, the Deborahs are rising. And we just see women hungry.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm so excited. I think we began our conversation with me saying I was so excited by how God is using women right now. And I see them rising up in boldness. I see them proclaiming the truth, like Esther and Deborah. I'm an Esther, and I will not be silent in the face of oppression, in the face of adversity. You know, I have friends that are Deborahs. They even have palm trees they sit under. I kid you not. She's getting a palm tree. Shout out to my friend Shumana.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yes.
And, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing to me. And when we started this conversation, Kim and I, we prayed before we started this conversation. And I saw this beautiful image of Jesus just sitting on the throne. And he was so excited. And he was so longing to see his daughters, his bride, rise up in power. You know, I love the Song of Songs. There's this beautiful passage when he says, "My darling, my sister, my equal, my bride." And as women, we understand that. And the Lord said this to me very clearly. I know that I'm an Esther, but he said, "You're my bride and you share my throne." We share his power. We share his authority. And we know what it's like. I believe the bride of Christ is coming into a time where she's going to know how to yield and wield that power of authority. And it's not an authority that oppresses. It's an authority that lifts the poor, the broken, the oppressed, the lost into who God has created them to be. And I want to say this very clearly, and I feel the power of the Holy Spirit right now. But we have traded a gospel of redemption for a gospel of oppression. And if we really believe that the gospel is a gospel of redemption, this gospel has not only redeemed men, but it has redeemed women. It has redeemed homeless. It has redeemed drug addicts. It has the power of redemption. And there is nothing that stands in the way of the gospel power of redemption. Not a gender, not a social economic status, not a wealth barrier, nothing. And we as women are going to stand and proclaim that from the rooftops. And we are going to see the greatest revival this nation has ever seen.
Boom.
I couldn't help it.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Woo. So yes. So it's time to embrace our boldness and our muchness. You know, but I love the chapter that you said about, I want you to share about this chapter. It's the woman who came and she wept at the feet of Jesus, anointing him, confronting that religious spirit. I feel like our listeners need to hear that right now.
You are part of a great company of women who are called and empowered by God. It is time to inherit audacious boldness from Women of the Bible. I've got a great resource for you. Prophetic leader, author, and president of Kim Moss Ministries and Women of Our Time, Kim Moss. Her new book, Finding Our Muchness, provides a fresh look at women in the Bible who advance the kingdom to inspire and equip you to move with God in acts of bold faith. Look away from competing voices in culture by reminding you of the brave women in Scripture. You can learn to break through barriers, dream big, and discover your kingdom identity and purpose. And just for being a Revealing Jesus listener, you get 40% off and free shipping with promo code REVEALINGJESUS at familyownbakerbookhouse.com. Pick up a copy of Finding Our Muchness today and discover how now is your time to rise up in faith and move forward with boldness. Link in show notes or visit bakerbookhouse.com.
It's one of my favorite chapters. And because here's this woman, and in the Greek construction of that passage, it's found in Luke chapter 7. This is a story of the woman who is not named. She's not given a name. She's given a label. And her label is sinner of the city. And so she probably was a prostitute. And so she was outcast, of course, from the church, you know, and she was seen as a sinner, of course. Hamartia is the word for that. It means that you are outcast, means that you are not under the umbrella of what is accepted in the church. You are impure, you're unclean, all of these kinds of things. But in the Greek construction, you before she comes into the dinner to anoint Jesus' feet and weep over his feet and wipe his feet with her hair, you know that she has somehow, in some way, had some kind of encounter with Jesus already. Okay. And so Simon the Pharisee, he invites Jesus to dinner. Now, we don't know why he invited Jesus to dinner for sure, but we know that when you are invited to the house of a Pharisee for dinner, it's usually not the simple hospitality thing like you are embracing them, but it's actually to have a discussion, an educational discussion, informational discussion about religious issues and theology. Okay. And so what's happening is that he's inviting Jesus to vet him. You know, this is not because he's going to bow down and worship him. He wants to vet him because all the people in the passages just before are saying he's a prophet of God, and they are coming to him in droves. And you see what's happening in Luke is that all the sinners, the tax collectors, they're all coming to Jesus, and they are
getting saved and they are receiving the gospel, you know, and they are looking to him as the savior, but not the religious Pharisee. Okay. And so he comes to the house, religious spirits, I say, you know, and we're going to see who this is. And this is going to be a boon to this man who has this reputation of purity among the people. And because if he can prove that he's not who the people think, oh, this helps me, I become even a bigger celebrity in the church. Hello. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? And if he proves that he is, you know, what people are saying, again, he becomes even a bigger celebrity in the church. So this is really not about that he wants to find out what Jesus is saying because he wants to know the truth and submit himself to God. No, no, no. It's not like that. So they're having dinner. And then this woman in her audacious boldness, she comes and she brings this gift of ointment that, imagine, listen, you have to understand. See, scripture's so good. She was a prostitute. How did she pay for this ointment? At the cost of her very body. At the cost, well, of her dignity. We don't even know how many of the men that were present in that house maybe visited her before and took advantage of her vulnerability and her weakness and her, you know, you see. And so she brings this costly ointment because the scene, it's so pregnant and it comes so fast and so hard. She has to worship Jesus. She has to come and worship Jesus. She has to give him something that has cost her so much, that has cost her her very life, has cost her something of her dignity. She had, because she has met him before and she's so grateful. And so this is her worship. And so she falls down in worship. And what she does during the scene is she lets down her hair. And see, the letting down of your hair is really a sign of your immorality. She's not thinking about this at this time. She has to worship Jesus, weeping over his feet. She's kissing his feet and she knows she's making a mess. And so she takes down her hair. She has nothing else. So she's wiping his feet. And it's this beautiful, excruciatingly beautiful worship that she's offering to God, because really the gift that she's bringing to Jesus, wow, is herself. Yeah. And the people are like, oh, wow, Jesus knew who this was, you know, because of their religious spirit. See, because a religious spirit, I know we call it a demon in Pentecostal circles. We like to say it's a demon and all of this stuff. And it is, but it's really a demonic system. See, when you are infected with a religious spirit, you create a system in the church where there are those who are in and those who are out. Those who are superior, those who are inferior, those who are right and they belong, and then those who are all wrong and they don't belong. You see, and she is all wrong because she is a sinner of the city. But what is the church called to do?
Yeah.
And Jesus, he has come to upset every religious system that allows for people to be shamed and be held in their bondage. And so Jesus receives the worship of this precious woman. And then he says, Simon, do you see? Why? Because he knows that Simon is a blind guide. He is blinded by his religion and he is used by his religious system. And in the religious system, oh, he can rise up and be a celebrity. But he's not welcoming sinner who wants to worship Jesus and find their salvation and become clean, you know? And so Jesus makes a story and all of this goes on. And I like to say in the book, I say, you know, he does not see. And so he cannot sing. And seeing, if you're blind, then you cannot worship, you see? And I know sing, it's not only singing that is worship, right? But we know we sing in our churches to worship. And so I use that metaphor, but she is singing when she washes the feet of Jesus. And you know, I just need you to know, women, if you are listening, whatever your past, I'm like, Jesus is waiting to receive your song. And listen, the most precious song that you can bring Jesus is living your life in the fullness of the call that is on your life, living your life
in the fullness of who you were created to be and what you were created to do, the purpose for which you were created. This is worship unto our God, and Jesus, he receives it. He received this woman, and he received her worship, and he counted it as precious. It's precious.
So good. You know, I feel like the theme of our conversation is worshiping God with who you're created to be. And as women, we're called to do that and we need to do that. But I love that story for so many reasons. But what I love with the Holy Spirit speaking to me right now about that story is that even her past that represented that jar of costly perfume was even redeemed in that moment. It became a sweet smelling aroma. And so I feel like the Lord is saying that your past can be redeemed and so can your future. And that's what we're saying, is that this is a gospel of redemption for everyone.
Yeah. And it's a religious spirit that keeps you bound in shame. So Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus doesn't shame you. Jesus doesn't criticize you. Jesus loves you. And in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you know, it says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not keep a record of wrongs. Listen, who is love? Mm-hmm. Love is not some external forces. God is love. He is love. And love is patient. He gives you time. He knows that it takes time for you to come, for you to be redeemed. But he's waiting for you, and he will wait for you till your last breath, and he will wait to welcome you, and he will wipe away your shame. He is not the one who is shaming you. That is a demonic entity and system that is holding you in bondage, because you don't need to be ashamed. We don't have to be ashamed of our past. Listen, I have a past. The women in scripture, they were demonized, some of them. And he said, come, I will wipe it all away, and I will redeem it. And then you'll walk in true identity and call that is on your life, that is good, as he's given it to you.
That's so good. You know, when I was reading your book, I felt the Lord so strongly. There's been this like shame-based nature that's been attributed to women simply because of our gender. And I heard the Lord say this so powerfully. He said, you have not been created in shame. And that's the absolute truth. Sometimes there's this idea that somehow women are inferior to men, or that we're less capable, we're less everything, I guess. And I feel like the Lord really wants to break that off of people right now.
Amen. Yeah, it's very true. We were created in the beginning as co-heirs and co-equals. And Jesus says that. And we know that that's also true when the Holy Spirit was poured out, because it was poured out on men and women. My men servants and my maid servants shall prophesy. Prophecy is the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus says, wait until you are clothed with power so you will be my witnesses. He's not saying men, wait. He's saying male and female, who are made in my image, who are the fullness of who God is, I want you to wait and be clothed with power, and then you will be my witnesses. And when you are witnesses, it means that you are proclaiming with a demonstration of power the gospel of the kingdom. This is for male and female, male and female. When Galatians 3:28 says that in Christ Jesus, there is now neither Jew nor Greek. He's wiping away ethnicity. Ethnicity doesn't make you superior or inferior. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There is now no slave nor free. That means that he's wiping away all of that sort of bondage and your past and everything and your economic status. Because of your education, because of your economics, because of your ethnicity, we are all equal in Christ. And then he says, and there is no male and female, because we are one in Christ Jesus. We are one in Christ Jesus. We are one body, one spirit. We are
all called. Listen, when he gave the Great Commission, think about this. When he gave the Great Commission, he gave them to male and female, all who are in Christ Jesus.
Yes. You know,
that you will preach the gospel to all creation. In my name, these signs will follow you. All of these things. Go out baptizing the nations in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything that I have taught you to do. You know, throughout scripture, all of what he calls the church to do, he does not differentiate between male and female. I am not saying that there is no difference between the genders. There's differentiation. That's why we're male and we're female. But there's no difference in the call. And it started in the garden when he said, you will take dominion over all the earth. That was a co-equal call. He called both male and female, you see. And so there is no hierarchy. There's a differentiation, but there is no hierarchy. We're both made in the image of God. And so I agree with you. I have been in situations, I'm sure that you have too. You know, I'm a little bit older than you, probably could be your mom. But I have been in situations where, not because of my character, not because of my behavior, not because of anything that I have said or done, but simply because I am female, you know, I have been put down, moved out, said no to, and I don't hold any bitterness over them. I understand that people are working out their theology and all those things. I'm just saying that we judge fruit. We don't judge people, right? We judge fruit. And if the fruit of my life is good, and if the fruit of my life is advancing the kingdom, if the fruit of my life is love and joy and peace and righteousness and patience and goodness and self-control, you know, all of these things, then, you know, then you can see that I am following the Lord.
Amen. I just see Jesus. That's it. That's exactly what each and every one of us were created to be conformed into the image of. And if we see Jesus, if we see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, then what else is there to display but the image of God? Oh, good. The image of God. Well, will you pray for our listeners today, specifically the women? This is for you today.
Absolutely. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Come in your manifest presence over every woman who is listening, who's watching. Father, whatever situation that they find themselves in right now, Lord, I'm asking that you would make your presence real to them, that you would help them, that you would bring the resources they need. Lord, we just cut off right now any kind of word curse, Lord God, that has come over them, Lord God, that has spoken lies to about who they are, about how they're not hardly anything, how they're too much or they're too little, Lord God, how they never will be good enough. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I take authority over that and I break that lie. As a matter of fact, in the name of Jesus, I am a mother in the church. And I want to speak to you like a mother in the church. And I want to say to you, that you have permission from the Lord to become everything that he has called you to be. And as a mother, I tell you that I rejoice and I celebrate that you are coming up in the Lord. And I rejoice and celebrate if you go far beyond me, because this is how it's supposed to be, that I go a certain distance, but then my daughters and my granddaughters go 10 times further, 100 times further, and carry the gospel to all the nations and advance the kingdom of God. And so I bless you as a mother. And right now, if you are struggling with your past and you don't know Jesus, maybe you're hearing this and you're like, wow, I didn't know that I could know Jesus like that, that he would come and that he would save me, redeem my life. I'm asking you right now to just say a prayer with me. I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I give my life in your hands. I trust that you are a savior and redeemer, the Son of God who died for me. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and all of my past. I know that sometimes I feel like the sinner of the city, but I come to you today and I bow at your feet and I just say, I'm going to worship you, God. I give you my whole life. Come and redeem it however you like. Come and restore in me who I'm created to be. Come and empower me and fill me with the Holy Spirit right now.
give me the gifts and the power to live my life following you every single day, keeping my eyes on you. Give me the ability and the power. Give me back my muchness so I might love you the way that you're to love with my whole heart, undivided heart. Father, I'm asking right now that you would heal their memories, Lord God, of everything that has come into their life, Lord God, that has stolen their identity, stolen their confidence, stolen their muchness, Lord God, and left them weak, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And I take authority over any spirit of shame or spirit of religion, Lord God, that has kept them bound in that in the name of Jesus. And I just proclaim over you that you are free, that you are good, that you have permission in Christ to be everything that he created you to be. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in women. I thank you, Lord, that you are bright. I just can hear him say right now, some of you are receiving a call. Some of you are receiving a call right now. You didn't even know that you were called, and you feel your heart burning, and you hear his voice calling you out, you calling you to be an Esther, to be an Abigail. Oh, get the book and read about Abigail. She's wonderful. Read about the five sisters of Zelophehad who had the boldness when they came together to speak up over something that was not right and not fair. God is going to give you back your voice, and you are going to fulfill that calling. And I'm telling you that is real. I don't want you to doubt it. I want you to say to the Lord right now, yes and amen, God, you work it out in my life, and I'm just going to follow you, whatever you say. And Father, right now, I'm asking that you would give back the boldness, the audacious boldness of the women who are listening, Lord God, that they would no longer, Lord God, hide in fear, no longer feel like they are without value or without worth, Lord God. They would know that they are the champions of this time, and the world is waiting for them, Lord God, to step out in their boldness, Lord God, because it's for the sake of the people, Lord God, who are waiting to hear the gospel. The sake of the lost, Lord God, who are lost in their sin, and they're waiting for the sake of the sinners, Lord Jesus, who no longer have to be bound. I thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. And I bless these women as a mother, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm so happy that you went there as a mama, because it's so needed in the body of Christ right now. So thank you for that.
It is.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here with me today. This was so cool.
It was so fun. Thank you for having me. It was great. It was so good.
Always, always. Well, I hope and I pray today's episode has blessed you. I will have links from today's episode in the show notes under Revealing Jesus with Christina Pereira, wherever you get your podcast. And be sure to pick up a copy of Kim's new book, Finding Our Muchness. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless. Beloved, let me introduce you to my King. He is altogether lovely. No matter which way you turn him, he is perfection personified. He is velvet and steel. He is meekness and majesty. He is glory and humility. He is kindness and strength. He is altogether lovely, and he is my King, and he can be yours as well. All day long, he holds his hand that you might take, that you might turn one step, one grasp, one yes, one breath away from the arms of your loving Savior. Beloved, if you hear him calling today, do not harden your heart. The Bible declares that not one of us is guaranteed another moment upon this earth. So pray this prayer with me today and run into the arms of the one who loves you, who knows you best. Father, I ask you to forgive me for all of my sin, for all of the places that I have fallen short, God, of your glorious standard. I ask you now to send your Son into my heart, to be the forgiveness of my sin, to be my redemption, to be my righteousness, to be my holiness, to be my sanctification. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, to fill me with your Spirit, your power, your glory, that I might bring glory to your name, Father. I thank you that I receive all of this by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself up for me. I thank you that I am now a child of God. fully forgiven, fully righteous, fully holy in your eyes. And I ask you to help me walk out this life in a way that pleases and honors you, Father. I thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. I thank you for your love, for your kindness, for your great joy in saving me. And I thank you, Father, and I thank you, Holy Spirit. And I pray all of these things in your beautiful Son's name. Amen. If you've just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to congratulate you. You are now a child of God, and all things are now yours. Keep listening to Revealing Jesus. Find a good Bible translation that makes sense to you. And keep hearing about our beautiful Savior Jesus. Please let us know. We want to continue to pray for you. And we want to send you a free PDF copy of our New Believer Workbook. Just go to christinapereira.org/welcome-home. Enter your email address and we will be happy to send this free gift. And continue to pray for your journey. God bless. I sincerely hope and pray today's episode has blessed you. Now it's your turn to continue the conversation. We are all evangelists of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like this episode, rate it, share it with a friend. If it's impacted your life, let them know that you want it to do the same in theirs. Help spread the word of the good news of Jesus. Subscribe to the mailing list and get episodes, articles, downloads, and more sent right to you. Link in show notes, or just text Jesus to 1-833-815-7778. Again, that's Jesus, 1-833-815-7778. We would love to connect with you on social media. You can find us at Christina Pereira Ministries on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless.